Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Glad you're with us as we begin the second part of our day today. We had a workshop at 10 a.m., and now we're starting the official Volusia County School Board meeting for Tuesday, November the 12th. Would you please stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and once again, good afternoon, everyone that's here in the audience, and for those of you listening via the internet, we are, of course, streaming live. Allow me to introduce the people around me this afternoon, beginning with District 3 representative, Ms. Linda Cuthbert. And from District 5, School Board member Mr. Ruben Colon. Next to Mr. Colon, our School Board attorney, Mr. Ted Doran. Over here at far right, your left, our agency clerk, Ms. Connie Spire. Next to Ms. Spire, District 1, Representative Jamie Haynes. Our vice chairman representing District 2 is Ida Wright. And our superintendent is Mr. Timothy P. Eggner. And my name is Carl Persis, and I am serving as your chair. Once again, glad you are here. Items for approval on this agenda are 1.03, 2.02, 4.02, 5.01, 17.01, 18.01, 18.02, 19.01 through 19.04, and 21.01. We have many public participation times. You can comment on anything that's a board action item. You can comment on the consent agenda items. We also have a time certain public participation today. It's at 5 o'clock, so we tried to get as close to that 5 o'clock as possible, but it will not be before 5 o'clock. And we allow 15 minutes for that block of time on any item that is of general education interest, but not on the agenda. Time will be provided for public comment on any action before the board before we vote. It's a voting item, of course. And then at the end of the meeting, we also provide public input time on any item on which you may wish to speak, and we don't have any time limit on that one. Our district vision statement is to ensure all of our students graduate with a superior 21st century comments, and we usually at this time go around to see if any board member would like to make any comments, perhaps about any visitations or exciting things they have seen or heard about at their school. So anyone like to start today? And the person is me. So I will start and just say that just like all of you, I am plowing through my list of pins. Pinning the new employees to our Volusia County Schools. And it's been a lot of fun going into the schools doing that, particularly learning from where they taught previously, from which states they have come from, and then, of course, for those who are excited just to be out of college and this is their first job, period. So they are thrilled. So just want to thank all the principals for allowing me to do that and to take the time to walk me around. And Mr. Colon, or Ms. Cuthbert, or you guys decide which one you want. Ms. Cuthbert.
This has to do with our community, and I just want to thank VIEW, our unions. I want to thank Futures, our superintendent search committee. We've had a lot of people in our county participate. We've had a lot of phone calls, a lot of contact. Especially, I'd like to thank the three candidates that we got to meet last week. So we've had a lot of input and a lot of acquainting with all different kinds of views. And I'm very grateful to have been a part of this. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cuthbert. Mr. Colon.
So this is the week of the fair, and I had the privilege of going to the fair with my daughter on Sunday. And shout out to all the I would say FFA, but there were all kinds of students. But you know, all the students who are participating in all the different animal competitions and arts competitions. I look forward to seeing more participation next time from a lot of our schools, but it was refreshing. I can't imagine what the hall would have been like without Volusia schools. So thanks to everyone who's participating in that.
Thank you, Mr. Clum. Anybody else? Okay, yeah, Ms. Haynes.
So I, too, have been plowing through my pens, and I still have a lot to do. But yesterday, Mr. Colon and I were honored to attend an event in Deltona at the center, and it was five local veterans from World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War who had been interviewed, and they showed the film called In Their Own Words. And three of the veterans were there and present so that you could meet them and talk to them. But it was phenomenal. And I did say to Mr. Egner already, I think it's something that I think we should look at, you know, possibly allowing our secondary students to see the film, knowing that these are local gentlemen that live right here in our county. And it was an honor and privilege to be able to see it and to meet them.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we are ready to go, and our next item is approval of the minutes. So all board members have received copies of the minutes for the September 24th, 2019 regular session, and also for the Volusia County School Board Leasing Corporation. Are there any corrections to those minutes? Then those, seeing none, those minutes will stand approved as submitted. Are there any agenda changes, Mr. Superintendent?
There are no changes recommended.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion to approve the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Clown. A second by Ms. Wright. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, and the motion carries unanimously. Do we have any public participation on the consent? Okay. So do we, board members, do you wish to remove any item from the consent agenda to be discussed separately? No. Do I have approval of the consent agenda items?
If I would like to clarify one, when's the best time for me to do that, Mr. Chairman?
Well, you could do it either before we vote or you could do it after we vote.
I'll do it before we vote.
So tell me which number that is.
10.03 and 4.
I'm sorry, say it again, Ms. Cuthbert.
10.03 and 4.
10.03 and 10.04. All right, do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda minus items 10.03 and 10.04?
So moved.
So moved. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor of the approving the consent agenda item, it's consent agenda minus, then we're coming back to you.
Well, I don't want to remove it.
Right, we're coming back and you can make the motion, okay? All those in favor of the consent and agenda items, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those opposed? Okay, so the motion is approved unanimously. And now, Ms. Cuthbert, bring up item 10.03 and 10.04.
I wanted to make sure that there's an issue of printers on this, and I wanted it clarified for public because it was such an issue last year. And I just, as we move forward, Mr. Aiken has agreed to explain what 10.03 and 10.04 are.
Yeah. Mr. Aiken.
Yeah, Greg Aiken, Chief Operating Officer, Chairman Persis, Board Members. Thank you, Ms. Cuthbert, for the question. 10.03 is a printer installer software license with Toshiba. This, what we're bringing forward to you this evening, is the printer logic and paperwork functions with an oversight of all the printers that are installed district-wide. This change order, it's basically a change order. This change order, we had a 60-month, five-year contract with them for printer logic. What this company did, Toshiba did, was waive two of those years. And so consent item is to pay for the 2019, 2020, 2020, 2021 school years using a printer logic and paper cut. So it's just going to manage all of our printers that are currently out there today.
And 10.04?
Yes, ma'am. So 10.04 is our E-Rate Cat 2 network equipment for middle and high schools. What this change order does is we are required per E-Rate to have the funds set aside for the middle and high schools to change out the network data cabling and blades and everything else goes in there to bump up their speed from 1 gigabyte to 10 gigabytes. What this change order does for us is it allows our CDWG to bill our Universal Services Administration Company, USAC, for the E-rate amount to get reimbursed back to the district of $3 million, just over $3.5 million.
Okay, so this does not have anything to do with removal of printers from classrooms?
No, ma'am, neither one of these do.
Just
speeding
make sure.
Up. Right.
Just want to make sure.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you
so much.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you. Did you have a question about this one,
nope.
too? Okay,
sorry.
So now I would like to have a motion to approve items 10.03 and 10.04.
I move for approval.
And a second.
Second.
By Ms. Wright. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those opposed, and the motion carries unanimously. Are there any board comments about any items that we just passed on the consent agenda? All right, seeing none, superintendent's announcements.
I have a few announcements. The first is the FACT Fair, F-A-C-T Fair, will be Thursday, November 14th, 2019 at 5:30 p.m. at Campbell Middle School. And in case you don't know what that is, our Title I department brings together community agencies along with school resources and invites all families, it doesn't have to be Title I school families, it can be any family, to come to this location and learn about all the many services available to help families and support families that both the schools and the communities offer. There's also a Focus Job Fair that'll be Friday, November 15th, 2019 at 11:30 a.m. at Daytona State College, Building 200, Daytona Beach campus. School Board Organizational Meeting is Tuesday, November 19th at 9 a.m., Boardroom right here at DAC. Volusia County School Board Leasing Corp Meeting will also be Tuesday, November 19th, immediately following the School Board Organizational Meeting. You'll note that we have several of these types of meetings because it can't be done all in the same venue. So we have to do one, adjourn the other, do another, adjourn it, that kind of thing. Then there's a special school board meeting Tuesday, November 19th, immediately following the Volusia County School Board Leasing Corp meeting. That's also here. The school board workshop work session Tuesday, November 19th, immediately following the special school board meeting. So that's why I said that. It's a little confusing. We also have a few upcoming events which haven't made a public venue yet, but they will. One is we have a commissioner's visit. Commissioner Cochran will visit us on November 14th and visit Atlantic High School and Mainland High School to review our outstanding CTE programs as well as other purposes for his visit in Volusia County. On the 19th of November, we are holding a safety, security, and emotional, social, mental health program, public programs. The first will be at Mainland High School at 6 p.m., and the second will be at University High School on November 21st, starting at 6 p.m. The focus is to discuss what we do with our safety and security protocols that you've probably heard so much about, why we do it, how we do it. Then in addition to that, we want to discuss how parents can help their students and help other students and help us to prevent things from happening, from occurring, and support students in a variety of different ways. So this will shortly go out as a press release and be advertised. It's open to anybody who's interested on those two dates. Then we have Thanksgiving holiday, Monday, November 25th through Friday, November 29th. All schools will be closed. District offices will be open Monday and Tuesday, but many of those offices, like this one, will not be open to the public. It'll be open by appointment for specific reasons. Classes will resume Monday, December 2nd, 2019. There will be a school board workshop session Tuesday, December 10th, 2019. 10 a.m. right here at DAC. And the next regular school board meeting will be Tuesday, December 10th at 3:30 p.m. right here in DAC. Thank you.
Yeah, and we actually had to amend that just a little bit. Now we have just a special school board meeting also on November 19th as after the organizational meeting. And I think we got that in there.
We did.
Yeah. Okay, perfect.
There were so many.
So many.
So many.
So many things. And all right. Well, let's just keep this going. Superintendent's presentations.
Let's see.
District update.
We have nothing to present. Is that correct, Tom?
Well, that was quick.
It was.
That was a quick.
I think there's a major event that you're trying to get to.
I don't have no idea what you're talking about. All right. Well, we do have some big breaking news here. We have an administrative appointment, and that's always exciting. So let's get Kimberly McKinney up here and share the good news. Just pull that microphone close to you and introduce yourself and your title. Thank you.
Kimberly McKinney, Coordinator of Recruitment and Retention, Human Resources. Good afternoon, Chairman Persis, School Board members, and Superintendent Egner. It is my pleasure to present the following superintendent's recommendation for administrative appointment. Assistant Principal Appointment, Ms. Amy O'Quinn. If you'll stand, please, Ms. O'Quinn. From teacher on assignment at University High School to assistant principal at Tomoka Elementary School. Ms. O'Quinn has been an educator with Volusia County Schools since 1998. Her areas of certification are educational leadership, elementary education, speakers, English speakers of other languages, reading, and specific learning disabilities.
All right, Mr. Superintendent, do you have a recommendation here?
Yes, I recommend approval of the appointment of Ms. Quinn to the assistant principal's position.
Okay, all right. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve the recommendation.
All right.
Second.
And a second. Ms. Quinn, hello. Do you have any family with you or anybody there besides your principal? I see Dr. Roseboom. Dr. Rubin's smiling now. The last time Dr. Roseboom was here, she wasn't smiling so much. So this is all good. It just comes around. All right. Well, you are going to Tomoka Elementary School, where I spent 13 years of my life, and just love the school, and you're a principal, too. So just want to say, well, I can't say it yet. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those opposed. And now I can say congratulations.
And now I would like to take just a moment for an HR update. We currently have 54 classroom positions open district-wide, 6 in English language arts, 3 in math, 2 in science, 4 in reading, 22 in ESE, 5 in elementary primary, 3 in elementary intermediate, 3 in social studies, and 4 in the special areas.
And did you say the grand total again?
54 classroom.
54 classroom. Okay.
Yes, that does not include things such as academic coaches.
And would you be kind enough to repeat those individual totals again?
6 English language arts, 3 math, 2 science, 4 reading, 22 ESE, 5 elementary primary, 3 elementary intermediate, 3 social studies, and 4 special areas.
Thank you. Ms. Wright, did you get those? You got them? Okay, everybody else good? Okay, any further reports?
That's it for me.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, we should get a picture. We're going to take a 3-minute recess right now to take a photo with our new assistant principal. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a board action item. Do we have any public comment cards on this one, Ms. Schultz?
No.
Okay, so we will turn it over to staff, and if you'd be kind enough to introduce yourself and your titles before you speak.
It's Stacy Manning, General Counsel. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, board members. Superintendent.
And good afternoon, Deb Muller, Chief Financial Officer.
Good afternoon to you both.
This item, 1901, is a public hearing for adoption of changes to amendments to School Board Policy 712, titled Tangible Personal Property. These changes are primarily cleanup. There were some changes in the federal laws regarding grants. I think it was back in 2017. They made some changes in what they call the super circular. Part of those changes require that the district and many local governments make changes to their policies on inventorying and controlling items that are purchased with federal grant funds. So that's really the basis for the changes that you're seeing here. And we had to, obviously, in addition to making the changes to the physical wording of the policies, we had to change the references to the statutory and rulemaking applicable sections. In a nutshell, that's what it is. If you have any particular questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Manning. Ms. Muller, were you going to add anything? Or?
No, I think Mr. Manning covered that. It was pretty much to so that we can make sure we're following the law and recording the appropriate information for those federally purchased assets.
Okay, thank you very much. Do I have a recommendation? Did you have a question? I'm sorry.
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
This is very detailed work, and it's the person who has to make sure he's taking care of this is the principal at each campus, correct?
It depends on where the item
federal.
Is located. Most
yeah,
of
the
time,
equipment,
I think it is.
Most of the federal information is recorded by the federal grants department and tracked that way in detail now. But we are developing the system to properly track those within our inventory system and our fixed asset system within Oracle and within that interface.
Okay, because there's an awful lot of equipment on this, and it's a lot of it's expensive. But who makes sure that this is adhered to? And not only just that, but if someone walks off with the equipment, says you can't walk off with it at the very end of the policy, but what is the it's loan shall report the theft to the appropriate law enforcement agency. Who does all of that? Is it the person in charge of inventory? At that school, or is it?
Well, we have an annual physical inventory. Some of the federal fixed assets are actually in the possession of staff that goes out to the school, so they may bring that with them. Some of it is allocated to schools, during the school year. For instance, all of the iPads, they would be allocated to schools, and that's tracked in our system. So there's a requirement that it's tracked, and then an annual physical inventory is done. But if something was to be lost, then whomever discovered that would be the one to notify. But the inventory clerk would probably be the one most likely to report that. I'm not sure in a school. It probably depends on the situation. You know, if it was vandalism of the entire school, then that would probably automatically involve the principal in law enforcement. If it was a one iPad situation, then it may be the classroom teacher that would report it. It really just depends. But we do have procedures in place that would govern those situations.
Okay, I just, having been involved in inventories for many years, this is a very particular, because we get reports of what we purchase it, and then at the very end we have a loss column, things are not found, and then they are, devalued, we lose a lot of money. When we have a policy like this, it's very clear, and we can do that on our new Oracle. So it's we have better control of our inventory on our new computer program that we did before.
Well, we have it depends on if it's a fixed asset, which is considered any item over $1,000. If it's an item like a technology device that costs under $1,000, between $500 and $1,000, then those are going to be tracked separately as they are transferred around. We're still developing that because we needed another another way to track those devices and the transfers that take place from, you know, because they may move from school to school to school or even from classroom to classroom. So we need to capture all of those transfers that a fixed asset might make. But under our GASB rules, we wouldn't actually track all of those fixed assets that are under $1,000 for depreciation purposes. But we do want to track all of that those technology items because they are valuable and they you know could be easily stolen. Mm-hmm. So that is something that we're very cognizant of and putting those proper controls into place. But yeah, the inventory would still be taking place annually to inventory all those items in the school. But in particular, the federal items require a lot more information related to the specific grant, and that is what we were lacking in our current policy and what we were tracking. We didn't have all of the details, such as the federal grant number, as well as the specific purpose, right down to the specific purpose of that asset for being purchased.
Okay. Can I ask, I don't know if you know Mr. Egner, but when we purchase CTE computers, for example, mm-hmm. the extra wide screens, through Perkins grants, mm-hmm. is that considered, that's considered a federal grant, and is that under this policy?
Yes, all of our fixed assets are under this policy.
Okay.
And one of the reasons they reference the use is a lot of items that are purchased through some of these programs, like through Title I or through CTE, have to be used for those programs. Mm-hmm. So the location of those devices and who uses them and what program they're in is pertinent as we develop a system that tracks all that so that we can respond with assuredness that we're not buying it for this program, but it's being used over here, yeah. which is a major concern. What you're probably driving at is one area we had investigated the purchase or an extension of a contract with the same company that does inventory for textbooks and media center and whatnot, which works very well for that purpose. It did not work well for these purposes, and so we have investigated other options for systems that were more accurate, and I don't think we're quite implemented with that yet.
Okay, so the, for example, the ADER program, Spruce Creek High School, if they have a classroom full of for the engineers for the ADER program, a group of other students, maybe Student Government Association or yearbook coming in, are not allowed to use that equipment, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Unless it's incidental or unless the equipment was purchased through a fund that would allow it.
Okay.
Right,
so
if it was federally purchased, then it would be allowed for that, for the use in that program for that specific purpose.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cuthbert. Ms. Muller, Ms. Haynes.
So it's my understanding right now, though, and Mr. Egner alluded to it, that we actually do not have an inventory system at the moment. So I know in the past we typically have already started inventory by now because we've done it on a rotating basis. And I've heard this from inventory clerks as well as, you know, other district staff that is responsible for it. So when are we going to start this year's inventory process, and how are we going to inventory the items that are on campuses since we don't have an inventory system or process right now?
We would normally have started the inventory at this point, but what he alluded to was we had explored one solution, Destiny, and they told us that they could do something that they actually cannot do. What has been the challenge is to find somebody who can actually track the physical location for each asset moving within the district. So every time it moves location, whether it's from the warehouse to a school or a school to the warehouse, department, different rooms, that all needs to be tracked. So Oracle can track our fixed assets from a cost standpoint and from a current location, but it doesn't track that movement all over. So that's why we're exploring a couple of other options, other programs that could interface. The other thing that we're exploring is anything that is under $1,000, we actually would not track as a fixed asset in Oracle because they don't need to be tracked for depreciation purposes and for our financial statements, but they do need to be tracked from a theft and from a federal grant perspective. So we would want to capture all of those items. But it's a lot of additional items. It's probably about two-thirds of those items are actually under $1,000 that we're tracking now. So we've been looking at what other districts are doing as well, and a lot of districts have moved to stop tracking these items. Now, you alluded to a CTE computer lab. Those very well could be over $1,000 each. Mm-hmm. So they would be recorded as fixed assets. But if they're under $1,000, they would not be recorded as fixed assets. They would be recorded as tangible personal property, but still tracked completely during the time that they're in possession of the district until they're disposed of.
Ms. Haynes.
So if I'm, and granted I'm going based on what I've been told, so did we shut down the old inventory system before we had a new inventory system or something that would work?
Well, we really couldn't make that transformation because it was a very old homegrown program that we did not have the code for any longer. So we really couldn't even use it for the purposes that we wanted to. So that's why we've been in search of a new solution for that.
One step further. Did we save all of that data so that we knew prior to it ending or no longer having the code so that we at least had an idea of where items were?
Oh, yes, we have all of that data.
Okay.
And all of the assets, including all of those under 1,000, all of those tangible personal property items have been loaded into Oracle. They're in there now, and we have their current locations. They're just not being tracked via, you know, a scanner every time they make a movement. They're still being recorded, but they're being recorded manually until we're able to inventory them and upload that information.
Inventory is a large process, and it puts a big burden on an individual or two individuals' shoulders at a school, and I just have been hearing that people are stressing over what they're going to do about their inventory and not being able to show that things have moved from one place to another. So,
yeah, no, we understand that, you know, people are anxious about that. However, we want to make sure that the solution that we find accounts for things properly in every movement that an item makes. And the inventory will have to be complete by the end of the fiscal year. So it doesn't need to be complete at the beginning of the fiscal year. So we do have some time to do that. But we are narrowing it down but there's a design involved, and the design needs to interface with Oracle as well.
Thank you, Saints. Mr. Colon.
So to piggyback off of Ms. Wright, you know, you've said a lot of things that are changed and fluid right now, Ms. Cuthbert. And so I think that as long as we have an accompanying standard operating procedure with everything that's changed so everybody knows how we're going to do it to meet the policy change, then we're golden. You know, again, going back to who is going to do this, well, that's where standard operating procedures come in, because it sounds like it's changing. And of course, and I guess I should be looking this way for a little while. And so, you know, it just seems like with all the change, as long as we have a clear plan of who, what, when, where, and how we're going to measure it, we're golden. So,
Ms. Cuthbert.
Because high school administrators know this, but middle school administrators may not know. Some who are STEM certified, for example, Galaxy, is very much involved in this, but you have another new middle school does not know. Because I do know of a middle school who allowed another group to come in and use their CTE computers, and that's, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. And when a teacher spoke up about it, was not listened to. And so it's, we have to educate our administrators about this as well. So, thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions, Mr. Superintendent?
No.
Do you have a recommendation? Where are we with this?
Yes, I do. Okay. The superintendent recommends adoption of the proposed amendment to school board policy 712, tangible personal property.
Thank you. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Ms. Haynes. And a second?
Second.
By Ms. Cuthbert. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those opposed? And the motion carries unanimously. We are now on item.
Thank you.
19.02, this is another board action item. Do we have any cards on this one? Then we'll move on to the item. This is a request to advertise proposed amendments to school board policy 717, travel expense reimbursement. Mr. Manning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Stacy Manning, General Counsel. To recap, this is a request to advertise amendment to school board policy 717 entitled travel expense reimbursement. This one, what you're looking at is basically one change in section 2E. And what this does is incorporates the changes made by the legislature last year, which requires that the full board I'm not going to say approve, that the full board find that travel is for basically school board business, to put it in a nutshell. That was a new requirement of the legislature last year. We did previously, you all did hear this matter a couple of months ago. Where it was brought to your attention that this change took effect, and you all actually did go through and approve some travel coming up. It was recommended that this be incorporated into the policy, so we went ahead and did that, and that's what you're seeing here under E. And again, just the references to the history, and actually no changes to statutory references. So what we are asking is that we are allowed to advertise this for a public hearing, and that would be coming up probably in December.
Okay. Well, thank you. Any questions for our council? All right. Mr.
Superintendent recommends approval to advertise the proposed amendments to school board policy 717, travel expense reimbursement.
Thank you. You've heard the recommendation. Do I have a motion? Thank you, Mr. Cologne.
So moved.
And a second from Ms. Wright. And any further discussion?
Yes.
Ms. Cuthbert.
Doran.
Doran. Would you explain, because I asked him to make sure that when we go to our conference beginning December, we're okay?
If Mr. Manning didn't make it clear, we implemented the changes required by statute. You've been living under those requirements. This was just to help our official policy catch up with what we're already doing.
Just wanted publicly to make it sure. Everybody, no questions.
Thank you. All right. We had a motion. We had a second. Any further discussion? Just to add that board members, if you are, I think we covered all our travel through April. Okay, so if there's anything else that's come up, kind of just bring it up next school board meeting so we can cover the whole school year. That's what I'm trying to get through. All right, we have a motion. We have a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Manning. And where are we now? We are on item 19.03, so that means we still need Ms. Muller here, our Chief Financial Officer. Approval of Audit Committee Appointees.
Yes.
Wait a minute. And Mr. Manning's coming back. This
I stayed for him, good. So I thought he could maybe stay for
all
me
right.
as well. So we brought forward a couple of changes in legislation that, number one, require us to have an internal auditor, which we released an RFP for that, as well as an audit committee that will evaluate any audit responses for proposals that come in and make that recommendation to the school board. They serve as your eyes and ears and would come before you on an annual basis with a report on any internal audit and other audit procedures and recommendations. So I had asked you during that meeting or during that workshop to come forward with a name from each of you for a recommendation for the audit committee. And in that regards, we will appoint those.
Okay, so
as for those names tonight.
So we need to wait till we have all the names. Is that what you're saying?
I don't have all of the names.
Okay.
I have two names.
Okay.
And I'm unsure if other board members
have. All right, I'm not sure if board members, are you ready to submit a name, or do you already have, you have three names then?
I have two names.
You have two names. Okay. So I'm not sure if y'all don't have to do it tonight.
Hold on.
All right, so let's be clear about what she's asking for. Deb, so can you ask again what is it that you need? You need a name?
Yes, a recommendation for somebody to sit on the audit committee for the district.
Okay, and she needs five people, one from each of us. Okay, Ms. Haynes, you had a question.
I thought we were either only going to put three or four on the board.
No, there would be five for the full audit committee. For the evaluations of any proposals, there could be a minimum of two, and then one board member has to serve on that committee to serve as chair. That's the new legislation. So I do need a volunteer as well.
Need a volunteer.
I will volunteer because you basically volunteered me the last time.
Perfect.
I second that.
Great. So we're all in agreement of Ms. Haynes serving as our.
And if she can, I'll be her.
Exactly. Voluntold. Right. Okay. So you get that, Ms. Haynes.
I got that.
Now, back to the original request here for five names. So can we. If board members aren't ready to do that right now, can we do this at another school board meeting? I don't know what your time frame.
Well, we do have the internal audit proposals that have been received. So I think if we have two and they can be appointed today, then we could at least have them review the RFPs and make a recommendation to the board.
Okay, so we could do it with two plus Ms. Haynes. Yes. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I don't believe that she would have to be. That's really just one of the board members that would be reviewing.
It didn't say chair.
No. But we do need to appoint the audit committee members.
Okay. So, what are the names? Who are the people?
You have the two names correct.
The person has given Michael Furman's name.
Michael Furman. Yes.
Mrs. Cuthbert, David Jimenez.
Jimenez. With lunch.
Okay.
It's lunch better.
And mine did not change. Oh, okay. Well, when she presented, I just kept Amy, Amy Williams.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So now we have three names. And does anybody else wish to submit a name? If not, you can add your names later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can we add them later?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Okay. And so we have those three names in nomination. All those in favor of those three people to serve in our audit committee?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'll go ahead and appoint Mr. Stan Schmidt to the group. We had spoken about it. I was a little bit confused. That's the look on my face because I know we spoke of different ways about going about this, and you made a recommendation, but I missed the part of give us a name.
Mr.
I thought we were still on the other part of
Mr. Schmidt looks a little taken back here, but no.
No, he's good. We've spoken.
Stan, are you good with that?
All right. All right. So now we have four. Okay. So now we have four names. You've included the name of Stan Schmidt. Okay. So all those.
Yep. I need to do the
record. Oh, you need to make the record.
The superintendent recommends approval of the appointees as submitted by the school board members to serve on the audit committee as required by Florida Statute 218.391.
All right. And just to be clear, Connie, would you once again state the names of the people?
Michael Furman, David
Jimenez,
Amy Williams, Dan Schmidt.
Okay. You've heard the recommendation. You've heard the names. All those in favor of the motion?
Well, we
don't have a motion, no. So go ahead and make a motion.
I make a motion that we approve these appointees.
All right. Second. Now we have a recommendation. We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed. Wow. We did it. All right. That
all right.
was... A little more complicated than I thought it would be.
Thank you. And I'm not sticking around for this one.
Me
neither. All right. We are now on item 19.04. This is a board action item, selection of our Volusia County School Board Superintendent. I have a little... script here that I need to read into the record, and then we'll have public comment, and then we'll go from there. So as we address the selection of our superintendent, this board will make a decision of great magnitude. Our decision today will have a direct impact on the continued success of the Volusia County School District. We have an elected duty to represent the public. More importantly, our decision will impact the lives and education of over 63 young people and over 7,500 employees. With that in mind, let's have our discussions open, candid, and guided by what is best for the students and the taxpayers that we all serve. To start off this portion of the meeting, I'm going to go over three things. One, a review of our superintendent selection process. Two, the format for today's deliberations. And three, an overview of the next steps after our decision is made. So let me begin with giving you a review of the selection process. The board's formal discussions began on July 22nd. With a board workshop and pre-search conversation with our consultants from the Florida School Board Association. Community forums and internal focus groups were held, and they were held on September the 16th. We had two, and another one on September 19th, followed by September 23rd, September 25th, and then September 26th. All forums were open to any community member. We had focus groups, which were held with the Educators Association, AFSCME, and Futures. And each of these focus groups were designed to gather input. We also had a focus group with Futures Foundation. Additionally, we had a survey, a questionnaire was administered between August the 23rd and September the 30th, that was the online survey. We ran advertisements from August 26th to September 25th on multiple state and national platforms. We formed a community advisory committee comprised of 26 members, which convened on two occasions. This advisory committee recommended 7 applicants for the board to consider. To continue to consider. The 7 applicants recommended by the Community Advisory Committee were asked to respond to the board with written responses to questions by the deadline of October the 1st. At the board meeting on October 15th, 3 finalists were invited to come to our county for face-to-face interviews. These interviews were held on November the 7th and November the 8th. The November 7th school board interviews were held publicly in this room as well as hosted on the district YouTube channel. On the evening of November 7th, a community reception was held at the Sanborn Activity Center where attendees submitted comments and inputs which have been received by the school board members. All right, so that brings us up to today's meeting. We will begin the meeting as I said earlier, with the opportunity for the public comment related to just this item to the selection of the superintendent. after we conclude the public comment, then I'll ask board members for your comments. Once each board member gets to say what you would like to say, I'll ask if there are any additional comments now that you've heard each other's comments, and we'll let this process run until there are no further comments. Once all the comments are concluded, then I will entertain a motion, and once we get to that part, I will advise you how the motion should be read and so forth. So right now, let's go ahead and start. Yes, question. Yes, Ms. Cuthbert.
Before we get this all rolling, because we're all going to get swept up in it, I would like to make a personal thank you to Mr. Eggener for stepping in June and helped us through the summer and getting our school year started. So I just wanted to publicly thank you for all that you've done. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
It's been a great honor and a great pleasure. No thanks are necessary, but thank you anyway.
Thanks to your wife.
Don't go away anywhere. I don't want you to think this is that you leave right after this meeting. All right, we have one member of the comment that would wish to speak, and that is Kim Short. Good evening.
Good evening. I just wanted to say thank you to the Florida School Board Association. Being part of this has been awesome as a community member. I want to say that timing is everything. And this board is extremely lucky because I think that all these candidates will probably land on their feet in a superintendent job somewhere here in the state of Florida. But we're the lucky ones who get first dibs. So I hope that this board picks the person that when they see them in another county, they didn't wish that they were here. So I wanted to just say that. I also want to say that I'm proud of this board. I've been sitting here for 7 years watching you guys and different boards cycle through, and you guys have done a really good thing here for our kids. I really hope that we pick the person that's not going to just do what we've done in the past, but that's going to do something drastically different. That's the only thing I can say, because I do think we have more than one really qualified candidate. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Short, and thank you for your support. All right, do we have any other comment cards? All right, then I'll move that the public comment section time be concluded, and we will move on, which is time for each board member to make a comment. So I'm not going to pick on anybody. If you'd like to go first, just raise your hand and let me know. Ms. Wright.
I'll go first because I really want to ask my colleagues a question before we really get down to this. As we look at the three candidates, it's evident that they are really good, but some things came to my mind that I think we need to address first. Are we looking for a candidate that is the board's priority, the number one, because we have a lot, but what is our number one priority? Is it to change the culture in the district where we're really moving forward, close the achievement gap, or do something that's not 260, because, I mean, we're starting back where we were, but maybe doing 180 turnaround, totally something new. And based on that, then we can have our discussion. So what is it each of you really want to see? Do we want to see someone, again, that's going to change the culture, someone that's really going to focus on the achievement gap, or do we want to do something that's 180 degrees different?
Okay, so Miss Wright's challenging us here, so which is fine. I don't have any problem with this. Miss Cuthbert, you had your hand up, I believe, first.
Oh, I did.
That's the way it appeared to me.
Okay, I came from. I was elected because I wanted a teacher's voice on the class on the board. I've never really had difficulty in the classroom. I always relied on my gut instinct, and my gut instinct only got me in trouble when I didn't pay attention to it. I've discovered we have three marvelous individuals
who have very supportive spouses, and I'm so delighted that their spouses came last time. They're all excellent educators, and all have their doctorates. When the Florida School Board Association approached us and asked us what we wanted, I said I wanted an educational leader, and I preferred someone who understood and had practiced in Florida, and all three fit the bill.
Ms. Cuthbert, let me just interrupt you, okay?
Yes.
I think what we wanted to do was just to get
to
an answer, and then we're going to go back to her, okay, and let her finish her comments. Is that what you were intended?
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
That's okay.
But all three address what you've asked.
So she was about culture, achievement gap,
just a total turnaround.
Okay, I'm looking for closing the achievement gap.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Colon, if you had to pick...
And so that's difficult because I believe that you have to change your culture for the 180 turnaround. And so if I had to say, I would say culture, because this district could easily become an A district without my schools. Okay. Or a B district with mostly C schools in my district. And so that culture will lead to that turnaround.
Okay. Ms. Haynes.
My first thought is change the culture, because I believe if we change the culture, that we will close the achievement gap that has occurred in Volusia County.
And I concur with the culture first.
Okay. Thank you, colleagues, because you kind of helped me make some decisions. And so when we looked at all three candidates, one thing I did like about all three of them, they did their homework on where we are academically, and they were able to shed some light on some things that I think we may have had questions, we were not sure, but I commend all three of them for being very aggressive. One, after all of you have answered the question, kind of has risen to the top just because they've had the diversity of working in several districts and really understanding the culture of several districts. And so I concur with you, Mr. Chair, and Kim, Mrs. Short. We've had exceptional candidates. But for me, when we talked about culture, there was one who I think really speaks to the culture of if we're talking about culture as our number one priority. Thank you.
Okay, fair enough. And who would like to go second? Mr. Klum.
And so I'm sure we are all going to echo the fact that we had amazing candidates. And it was unfortunate that, you know, the public interviews brought a lot more questions. The cards from the forum were 50-50. With all due respect, not much help. Yeah, and to me it really came down to the one-on-ones that folks were not able to hear. And when I think of the culture, the one thing that really made a difference was that 100-day plan, that initial plan. And I truly believe that we need a cultural change in Volusia County. However, I also believe we've got amazing people here that simply just have not had direction. And one of the things that may help me to understand was the decision I'm making, I may not be here in 3 years. The decision I'm making is going to affect a lot more people that I hadn't even spoken to. And so I was able to reach out to some folks and say, hey, what do you think? Some were floored. They couldn't believe it. And with that being said, I truly believe that we've got great folks. And I think for me, the entry plan of one candidate kind of scared me a little bit. Now, don't get me wrong. Again, this is a win-win, 100%. This is a win-win. But the thought of bringing a lot of new folks into the equation, because of proximity and the ability to, that kind of scared me a little bit, because I truly believe we have some great folks that just need some direction. And I was encouraged because one of the candidates spoke about building himself and building others. And I truly believe that with a change in culture, with a change in focus on student achievement, which they all had, you're right, they did their homework. They knew some of our schools better than, let me rephrase that. They knew some of my schools better than I knew them, because there's still a lot of questions I don't know to ask. And so that's what made the difference for me. And I am a, I'm going to say this out loud, I am a very visual person, and Cassidy, you can't put this in the paper. And I thought to myself, if anybody's ever had construction in their house and you lived in it while you were there, you can gut the house, but you can't get rid of both toilets. And I believe that one candidate is going to transform the culture while giving everybody who has stood the test of time in our district the opportunity to be a part of that vision. And so that, unfortunately, is not something a lot of folks heard out loud. I wish, you know, it was kind of, you know, at 8:30 in the morning, it sounded really good. But as the day went on and I thought about the folks that may be negatively impacted by it, and the amount of change, and, you know, I work in a world of change management, and the amount of change, the candidate who I was scared of actually, for me, was the one that was going to bring less change, which was really weird to me, because I for sure was sold on one because I thought we couldn't handle the other. I thought Volusia County wasn't ready for it. But then I realized that, you know, and again, there's two different strategies. None of them are wrong, and both of them are going to lead us to the right direction. I have no doubt about that. But I think with one candidate, I felt like he would help folks rise in the absence of having a list of folks that were proximal to us. And so that was really what it came down to for me. And again, I think we have amazing people, and I had to speak to a lot of people over the weekend. Some folks were probably really shocked that I called them just to say, you know, I realize this is going to affect you. You have to work every day with this person, and I haven't even asked you what you thought. And so that's my thoughts.
Thank you, Mr. Colon. Well said. Ms. Haynes?
So I, too, echo that we had three great candidates, and I want to thank the Florida School Board Association for all of their time and effort, because when we started this process, it seemed a little overwhelming, and it wasn't. It was actually easy on us because of you. I also want to thank all the committee members that narrowed it down to seven for us. And what I will say is I walked in with a very open mind to the group interviews on Thursday. I went to the reception. I watch and I observe. But what did it for me was really on Friday, when I had that opportunity to sit, you know, this close to each of them and speak with them. And they all did their homework. I mean, it was very apparent that they did their homework. They have analyzed our data. They're all on target with where we're at. I, too, before we ever even got to the interviews, encouraged teachers, administrators, community members to read and to get to know them and to read the answers to their questions and to tune in and watch what happened. I watched Thursday's interviews over the weekend at home, where it was quiet and I was no longer in the middle of it, with my notes, because to make sure I didn't miss anything. What I found from Thursday and even on Friday during my one-on-ones is one candidate stood out for me as far as that candidate answered all the questions, like stayed focused and answered the questions. And I'm sorry, that's important to me. And at the same time, during the group interviews, and, you know, we asked them some tough questions. We asked them about board communication. We asked them about communication with everyone else. And I looked really hard at that piece because I'm new to this. We've almost hit a year, Reuben and I. And that communication piece has probably been the most difficult piece for me in this role, is there's not always been clear communication. And I feel that to change a culture, we all have to work together as a team, and there has to be very clear, transparent communication. As I said recently at a board meeting, even if we know that something's not working or there's something wrong, I will tell you, having been in the classroom and worked my way up, just tell us, like, you know, tell teachers that the system is down. Tell them that their grades disappeared. Tell them that we didn't load this. Give them a timeline, or say we don't know what the timeline is yet. So in order to move forward, I believe, and change culture and close the achievement gap, we need a superintendent that will take over as Mr. Egner exits that will be great at communication and will expect it from everyone. And that came out very clear to me when I went back and watched everything, as well as when I met with them. And so I'm at peace tonight because I do feel we have three great candidates. But I'm also at peace that, as Mr. Clone said, 3 years from now, we don't know if we'll be sitting here in these seats. But the decision we're making tonight is a decision that we're making to impact our 63,000 students and all of our employees and our parents and our community. And I felt the weight on my shoulders. I have felt it all summer. But thanks to all of you that were involved in the process, we got three great people. And that weight kind of lifted because someone said to me, look at it this way, you got three great choices instead of no great choices. So my one-on-one clearly showed me that there's an individual that has worked a multitude of positions and has a very well-developed plan, and that's who I'd like to go with.
Okay. Ms. Cuthbert.
Our number one purpose is student achievement. Our number one goal is graduation, but it's how we handle it in the journey. So many times when we go on vacation, it's not the end destination, it's how we get there and how we enjoy the ride as we go along. So in a way, the three divided is not a really good question. It's very difficult. But I chose student achievement because that's what we're in the business for, and that goal is graduation. Culture is extremely important, and we're very unique in this county, that we are very different from other counties. And what I look for in a superintendent is diversity. I look for varied experiences, someone who can as easily talk to a business person as to a parent of a special needs child, as to a board member, as to the cabinet, or to a principal on a campus, or to any teacher or student. And I like the fact that anyone, whether in any administration position, can get down on one knee and look eye to eye in a child's eyes. To me, that's extremely important. I, too, want to thank you two men, Dr. Vogel and Mr. Reichert. We appreciate your service because Mrs. Haynes is completely correct. You've made it very, very easy on us. From the community meetings to the superintendent search committee, I mean, you handled it with great finesse. And you've definitely handled a lot of personalities along the way. We have some great talent in this state. I'm very proud of so many people who support our people in this county, as well as our state, because so many times we hear in the news about all that's wrong with education. And it was a wonderful professional experience to hear all of the different ideas, all the progress, and to also see what three other men and the impact they have made in other people's lives. And it's truly admirable where we all come from. Now, I remember Mr. Egner as a principal, and it's been lovely working with him as a superintendent. We never know what position we're going to be. I mean, my own son-in-law, who I had in class, never thought I would be his mother-in-law. So we never know where we're going to end up. And it's very important that as we go from job to job to job, that we take care of the people we are surrounded with. So culture is important, but the goal is that graduation and student achievement. So I, too, am at peace. I have found my candidate. It's very important, and what really helped Florida School Board Association is that one-on-one, that private conversation really cemented it. So thank you for that experience, because that was truly the most, I guess, eye-opening experience. So thank you. So I, too, am ready.
Okay. All right, great. I want to also thank Dr. Vogel and Mr. Reichert and Andrea Messina, who, of course, isn't here tonight, but certainly she was a tremendous help, all from the Florida School Board Association. Also, thanks to this guy here who walked into a little more than I think what he thought he was going to walk into, but he certainly didn't duck his head in the sand, and he said, this is what we got to do, and we did it, and he didn't just say, well, we'll just put that to the side and wait till the next superintendent comes in and let him or her deal with that. He said, it's in front of me, and we'll deal with it. So just kudos to you, Tim. I want to also thank Connie for all the communication that had to pass through Connie. I know John liked that, and Bill, and thank you, Connie, for that, and also to Kelly, who arranged so many things with the public and all these forums and all that goes into that. But I got to tell you, from the public's perception, either at the reception or when we're out there and people who are aware of what we're doing, I continue to get compliments about the process. I continue to get compliments how open it was, how many opportunities everybody had to weigh in, how we didn't duck phone calls or emails. We were out there. We were always listening. We never, at least in the eyes of the public, gave them the idea that our mind was made up or that we weren't interested in what they had to say. So I want to thank each of you members of the board for just handling all of this so well. It was an aggressive schedule, I think, when you stop and think about it, where we were on May 31st, and we hired Tim, went through that process, and had Mr. Egner start on July 1st, and it wasn't 2 weeks after that we started the process for our next superintendent, and I'm very, very proud of what we did. And I'm also very proud that the three finalists were the consensus picks from the 25-member citizen advisory committee. They were the unanimous picks from each of us. So it comes to me as no surprise that these three individuals, when we interviewed them, they were as good in person as they were on paper. and that should make us all feel great. I too was impressed with the way they handled themselves in the public. You know, it's one thing to see a district level person who's familiar with board meetings. They probably present to board meetings. So that's in their comfort zone. Perhaps being in that reception area, that's not something that they do on a regular basis. Now, you guys do it as candidates. You're used to being out there in the public. But for a typical deputy superintendent or someone like that, being in the public and being in those corners and meeting strangers and then peppering them with questions and, you know, learning how to deal with that, that took some other sorts of skills. And then to wake up the next morning and come back and meet with us individually, it was quite a process. So I think that each of them can get us to where we want to go. In my mind, there's probably one that could get us there quicker. But that's just a matter of style. I think it's just his way, his energy. I can just see that. And when you're around people who are energetic, that kind of rubs off on you because, you know, they're going 100 miles an hour. And if you want to keep up, well, you better too, because this person isn't going to wait for you. So catch up with me. So I kind of felt that energy. I love some of their comments. Each of them said they were also student-centered. Communication was the number one thing, along with students. They all said that. And I agree with whoever said it here. Perhaps all of you did at one time. They'll all be superintendents. I mean, my prediction is by August of next year, they're all going to be somewhere. And so we have the advantage, if you will, of being able to make our selections first. Now that we've kind of heard each other, are there any other comments any other board member would like to make before we move in to the motion part of it? Okay, well then, do you have the same script that I have as far as the wording of the motion? Maybe we can get it. Anyway, you're just going to say that I move that the board offer the position of superintendent of schools to whomever and authorize the chair and the council to begin contract negotiations.
I just have one question.
Yes.
Do we want to wait to 5 o'clock just in case somebody else would like to speak to this?
Oh, I don't have any.
I think that's a good.
Any issue with that?
Yeah, that's a time service.
So now that we've got the audience all built up for the moment, take a pause, huh? Let me just say this though, while I can be like a filler here for about 2 minutes more. I think I spoke to each of you, and I know I spoke to Superintendent, and I know I've spoken with Ted, that, and I'm not sure I've spoken with Dr. Vogel or Mr. Reichert, but I did speak with Andrea Messina late Friday afternoon, because my interviews went, you know, kind of late, and it occurred to me at the end of the day that when I asked each of the candidates, I think Jamie was here, when I asked each of the candidates, in a perfect world, when would you like to start, each of them privately said to me, December 1st or December 2nd is a Monday. And so when I heard it from the first one, okay, so the second one said the same thing, third one said the same thing. And then I went to Andrea, and I told her this, and then she said, well, you need to go see the superintendent, because each of them also said privately that they would like the superintendent to stay on board through the month of December, And so Mr. Egner said, well, if that's what you all want to do, that's fine with him, that he would just like for his title to change effective December the 1st or 2nd to consultant. And not a deputy superintendent or assistant superintendent. Am I quoting you correctly?
You're correct. I felt like if you gave me a titled position just to assist, that it would actually undermine the candidate, because if you really know what deputy superintendents do, then there's a very high level of authorities, and I would not want people to feel like they were still answering to me or had to go through me. Even if the candidates wanted that to happen, I don't think it would be good for the culture change if I was still lingering around as the other superintendent, so to speak. It would also make people question my intentions of, was I honorable? Did I really intend to leave when the new hire came on? Or was I clinging on trying to get a deputy job or some other job, which that wouldn't be an honorable thing to do based on what I told you in the interviews. However, I'm happy if there's a way to do it where I could stay around as long as they need me. But I do need to make this comment since there is a couple of minutes. I can completely concur with you. All three candidates are outstanding. So I don't think you can make a bad choice. So I think you're absolutely target on. I told the principals the same. And I also told them I wouldn't have said that to them if it wasn't true. I just wouldn't say anything. But I'm convinced of that. So I don't think you can make a bad decision. I think it's great. I will also tell you that regardless of what they said, because I have had conversations with them and I know the quality of each candidate, after 2 days, they're not going to need me around. They're not going to want me around. Because they will be full bore, ready to go with their agenda. And so what I'm saying is I will be happy to stay on through the month of December if that is so desired. But after a day, 2 days, 3 days, they say, you know, I got it. And, you know, no matter how nicely it comes out, they got it. I am also happy to leave, because the last thing I'd want to be is an encumbrance to them as they progress and they establish their identity and, you know, things of that nature. So, yes, through December, if we can figure out a way to do it with a non-titled position, but I could leave in an hour. If it was obvious,
I mean,
if it was obvious that I wasn't needed and, in fact, might actually be a detriment to their progress in some unanticipated way.
So then after I spoke with Mr. Egner, of course, my next call was with Mr. Doran, and just as a placeholder, we have it on the agenda for November 19th. So that, in fact, if we, which I'm sure we will, be able to knock out this contract within the next 5 or 6, 7 days, then we can move forward. But, Ted, I want to give you a chance to speak, to address his concern, too.
Yeah, no, well, as I mentioned to you, my first reaction was, I don't remember why exactly, but we had Mr. Egner on as a consultant for 5 days prior to him starting.
In the beginning, yeah.
And so that he could be paid, and so we would just go back to that same concept, and I think it would be Ms. Mueller's call, but we probably have all the information. We don't need to go through the referrals or, you know, stuff. There was stuff we had to go through. Probably don't have to go back through that. We just put you back there, and I think the exact same pay. Didn't you, for those 5 days, you got paid the same as you got paid under your contract?
I was easy to negotiate with. In fact, looking at this now, a little too easy.
Yeah, right.
You can't go back. You can't go back.
And here, this whole time, I thought it was Chairman Persis that was so good at negotiating that kept you at bay. So.
All right, great. All right, let's take a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back. Good afternoon. All right, good. We are back. It is our public participation time, and we have two cards. First one is from Kim Short, and Kim would be followed by Mark Lee. Ms. Short.
Oh. So this has nothing to do with the superintendent.
That's fine. That's
but
fine.
Maybe it would be good just to get a break for a minute. Yes. Talk about something else?
Sure. Hello again.
Hello. Okay, so I did a public records request. Last spring, we had a big hoopla with some of our administrators, and they were pretty upset because they had some, you know, principal discretionary money, and 90% of that money was taken back, which in a lot of different businesses, whatever you don't spend, government, they take it back and then they redistribute it. So I got, you know, some information on how that whole thing worked out. I also got what we had in 2018 as a carryover. And then what I did was I sat down and I compiled this list just today, actually. I received what all of our schools have as far as their discretionary project money for each school as of right now. So on the chart in front of you, you can see what we have right now, the 90% of the carryover that was taken back, and then the carryover that they had in 2018. And I just, I don't know if the board's interested in this, but I have to tell you, the public is interested in this. I started out feeling bad for principals because they were having money taken away from them, and then I started to really just feel bad for students because I don't understand how this works, but this doesn't seem like this is good for student achievement. For a school like Champion at the end of 2018 to have $73,000 in a principal discretionary account when they clearly needed money to go towards something that was going to drive their students forward. I don't know who's asking questions or how we figure that out in this county. I hope my school board members think that this is kind of an issue, but this doesn't seem like a way to do things. So I'm bringing this forward, hoping that somebody else is interested in this and that we can start to see some conversation, because in the business world, you'd be asking your schools, what are you going to use this money for? And we ask a lot of questions to our facilities people. We drill them about every little dime that they spend. But what are we doing with our schools when it comes to this? Is it because they don't have the training to figure out how to spend this money, you know, to help our kids? Is it because they don't know they have all this money? Is it in internal accounts or something? I mean, I have no idea, but clearly, the district has no problem being 100% fiscally transparent and telling you exactly what's here. So I can't blame the district. But I can say that this is a huge opportunity to help our kids. We've got transportation issues where we don't have stipend money, apparently, for teachers to work in the morning to drop off kids in elementary school. I would argue that we do. So I want to bring this to you guys so we can have some more conversations about this, hopefully in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Short. And now, Mr. Lee. Good evening.
Hi, I'm Mark Lee from University High School, currently a sophomore. And I'd like to talk about the future of our esports in Volusia County schools. So currently, we have two teams. In fact, two teams in University High School, six teams across the district. We have three high schools. And I heard that you banned esports like sometime, but you unbanned it later for to allow us to continue out, and that's good for us. However, I'm here to tell you why you should allow us to have it continuing years. There would be numerous benefits for the school board. Like, for example, there's a 2.0 GPA minimum requirement to be on the team. When students want to be on the esports team and they have that gets them more dedicated to the work, which would increase the GPA school-wide, which could actually make our school board a district, which is something I know y'all would love to achieve. Also, there's scholarships. Like, our team right now, the one I'm on, has a pretty good chance of getting one, considering we already made it to playoffs and stuff like that. And in the era of like cell phones and all that stuff where it seems we're more isolated each day, esports is a great way to connect students that sometimes don't have a way to connect with each other, you know? One of the best ways to unite them. I'd like to thank you for your time and possibly consider allowing us to continue esports for our upcoming years.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Mr. Superintendent, you just want to clarify
that? Oh, I'd love to. Given the opportunity.
First, there's a little confusion.
I would like to thank you for coming here tonight, taking your time, waiting through this meeting to be a self-advocate. I think one of the important roles of Volusia County Schools is to make every student a self-advocate. And I very much appreciate the reasoned way you presented your case, which was very effective. So thank you for being here. The actual situation, while there's been some confusion, I'd like to assure you that we fully support esports. We fully support it for the future. What came to our attention was in the unregulated atmosphere in which we were working, because it was really new, we basically allowed the students and the teams to pick their own competition. It just so happens that the type of competition that was selected basically was full of, and I excuse the term, I just have to say it, gratuitous violence. And then after the team began to win, a lot of the messages were coming from students in chat rooms and emails and stuff. We're talking about they won because they got the highest body count. And that type of terminology raised a lot of flags. And one of the flags was, is this a Volusia County endorsed instructional material? And if it is, how did it ever get approved? So my position was that we know of states like Georgia and Texas who strongly support esports, but they have a vetting process for which competitions are selected so that it's the focus is not gratuitous violence. What I am not saying, and I want this to be very clear, I'm not saying that esports promote violence. That has not been demonstrated. That hadn't been proven scientifically. What I'm saying is even the references and the pictures of the weapons that are being used and the lifelike characters being slaughtered and people bragging about how many people they've killed is not appropriate for an instructional material in this district. So what we want to do is have a vetting process in the spring like we would any instructional material or any item we endorse in the district to where we could pick an equally strategic game, a game where you can continue to get the scholarships, you can continue to compete, and make a selection with teachers and student input to something we can all support and not have one student posting body counts and another student points their finger like a gun and the sheriff investigates, because the hypocrisy of that is just too great and we think we're sending a mixed message. So it has nothing to do with any criticism of the students, the teacher, esporting in general. It's all a matter of trying to put it in its proper place, correctly selected, so we can all be proud of it and not be in a position where it looks like that we're talking out of two sides of our face and really haven't done our homework. I will tell you the other issue was some of the portals that you open up, you know, to compete, give students access to other websites and chat rooms where things are being posted we wouldn't want our kids to participate in or see. So we have a security issue. And I know it's too complicated for me to even quite grasp, let alone explain. But as you know, when one server fills up in those competitions, they might have 20 others connected and farmed out. And as we approve one server for the activity, when it clicked over to others, it shut it down because our security protocol wouldn't let it branch. So we have some technical issues, we have some security issues, and we have a content issue to address. And I did hear from many students, I heard from many teachers, and so from here forward, understand that unless someone is hired that feels differently, and I don't think they will be, we will support esports, but we'll support it in a way in which we think the entire public could read all those posts from the kids, and they could watch if they wanted to, and they could go, you know, if we had a stadium, you could go to the stadium and watch and not feel embarrassed or feel like, what's the school endorsing? So that's the sum total of the argument. And that's about as quick as I've ever explained something. But thank you for being here very much.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Egner. I know I've put you on the spot, though, but we were getting such mixed messages for that. I thought we needed to get your...
I really should thank Cassidy for doing the article in the News Journal, which helped bring this forward a little bit.
Okay, board members, we are now to the point of where if anyone would like to make a motion, please do so. Ms. Haynes, please.
I move that the board offer the position of superintendent of schools to Dr. Scott Fritz and authorize the chair and council to begin contract negotiations.
Okay, so there is a motion. Is there a second?
A second.
There's a motion and there's a second. So is there? Would you like to speak for your motion? Let's get that out.
So as I said earlier, it took the one-on-ones for me to make a final decision. And what I give Dr. Fritz credit for is he answered every question. He answered the questions that were asked of him on Thursday. He didn't dodge any of them. He answered the questions in my one-on-one. He also came prepared to that one-on-one, and he asked me some questions, which I thought was great. And, you know, when he finished his interview on Thursday, which I did not even look at this till over the weekend, he left us with this superintendent's entry plan, which I felt was very comprehensive. In addition to that, what I noticed is about him is, you know, he started as a paraprofessional, and he has worked his way up, and he's done a lot of jobs along the way. And I had a principal reach out to me and share with me, which I did ask each of them the question about their visits on our campuses, and he was very, very specific about what he saw on the campuses and what was happening. He had already shared with me how he stopped and talked to some of the students, and I had that principal reach out to me and state the questions he asked were very engaging and appropriate, and he engaged the students. And so after a lot of deliberation this weekend and going back through all of my notes, I just feel very confident that he can come to Volusia County and provide us with a changing culture, work at closing our achievement gap. But what I really appreciate is the communication. And he even talked about that in the interview, about building that communication and one message. And I think it's something that we've needed for a while, because what I hear from people all the time is someone knows something and someone doesn't know it. And I think we need that clear communication to move forward.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, does anybody else like to speak in favor of the motion? Ms. Cuthbert, did you want to add anything since you seconded?
I was impressed the fact that he has worked in 3 counties and has brought success to each and every county. I asked a question of how he made decisions. He says, I do not make decisions alone. I bring a group together, whether it's a cabinet. And I said, are you willing to put teachers to visit a cabinet meeting or a principal who wants to be part of the district or a deputy superintendent one time, just to see, to help, I guess, help train the next level so we have qualified people to see if they really want that job. I like the fact that, yes, he was a paraprofessional. He is the father of a learning challenged young lady. I asked about movements, and everything is in place. I asked if what changes he would make. He was very methodical, very sure, and he's very much dedicated to student achievement, closing the gaps, but also using culture as a way. And he's not willing to start to make changes until he understands our culture. He wants to visit schools first. He wants to talk to people first. And I think he's willing to listen. We need a listener as well as a doer. And without a listener, we can't do anything. It was very important to me also that we find someone who is willing to listen to our unions, to listen to explanations from teachers. And I'm very concerned that a lot of times teachers are afraid to go to their principals or to their evaluator because they don't want to be criticized or seen as weak or not able to do their job. He wants to dispel that. He wants to encourage a rapport that we all educate one another and we lift ourselves up. This does not mean that the others did not. It's just that Volusia County means a great deal to me. Having a lot of students that came through here, I mean, you were the first person I met, Mr. Persis. He tried to hire me when I came in 1986, and I said, I'm not elementary.
I'll be 100 years old tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, but he was already a principal. So, but, you know, it's what we do when we live here, we live with family. And I was always impressed. The school campus that I always worked at, it was a family. And when I step on my other, on whether it's my own district campuses or whether it's your district or somebody else's, there's that feeling of family, and we desperately need a superintendent who understands the meaning of family.
Okay. Anybody else wish to speak on the favor? Yes.
And so, I truly believe it's a win-win. And you know, one of the ironies of this process is listening. You know, being bold enough to say I'll go second, and listening to what everybody else has to say. Contrary to what many folks would believe, we really have had no idea of where anybody is at. This is the absolute first discussion we've had around this topic. And with that being said, I could support this motion as well.
And actually, you all made it easy. When I asked each of the candidates, I had number one based on how you answered. And since we said culture, he actually was the person for me for culture.
Well, that makes it just perfect. So I believe we have a motion on the floor and a second. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed. And the motion carries unanimously. And Dr. Scott Fritz, congratulations. All right, board members, before you leave, Ted advised that it might be good while we're all sitting here to go ahead and also, you want to explain it as it affects Mr. Eggner. Yeah, we'll do that in just a second. But
yeah, I spoke just briefly to Ms. Muller, and I guess your title was administrator on assignment. I don't think you have a problem with that.
No.
I would like for the board to, if they're in favor of Mr. Eggner staying whatever time period the new superintendent, well, we know who it is now,
yeah.
But ask him to stay. I would like for there to be a motion and a consensus that we do that.
Okay. So, can Ms. Wright, would
Mr.
you?
Mr. Chair, I recommend that we retain Mr. Eggner as a administrator on assignment during the however long the new superintendent needs his services.
Okay, that sounds great.
So moved.
And that's a second from you, right?
I have one. Well, she's the recommendation.
So
that's
a motion.
That was a motion. That was a second. And was there Ms. Cuthbert a comment?
I'd like a contingency. Now, Mr. Eggner was talking about as long as I needed.
Right.
So how do we know he's needed or not needed? So I would like to make sure that he would call, make a phone call to Ms. Muller and say, as of midnight tonight or 9 o'clock tonight, I'm finished and that she will notify us so we know how long the trail, the financial trail is, just for transparency.
And so that's okay, no later than December 31st, 2020?
Yeah. I'd like to know when his phone no longer works.
I think he said his bag's packed and he could be out of here in 1 hour. So I mean,
but I would like to know when that happens. Yeah. So thank
I'm sure the superintendent will let us know. Communication. All right, so we have a motion from Ms. Wright, a second from Ms. Haynes about altering his title and all that stuff. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those opposed. And so congratulations to Mr. Eggener. Absolutely. I'm going to move right on. Board members, do you have any other comments? If you don't, we're going to adjourn the meeting and we're going to make the phone call, okay?
But you are coming back, right?
You can't adjourn yet.
We're not coming back. That's why I'm asking you now.
What if he says no?
I'm asking you right now if you have any comments. Yes.
Normally, prosecuting chairman would call Dr. Fritz to make sure while the board is...
I have him on my speed dial right here. Yes. Oh, I see what you're saying. You want him to say something of it?
No.
You can go in the other room.
Before the board leaves.
Just recess.
Okay. Recess 2 minutes. We're back. Okay, we are back. Well, surprise. He accepted the position. And we have a new superintendent starting here. Alrighty, board members, comments about anything? Just let me again just thank each of you on the board. You all are just awesome people and great process. Thank you, folks, for being involved in it in any which way that you were to help us make a good decision. Again, I want to thank the Dr. David Moore and Dr. Peter Licata. You both are amazing people, and as I said earlier, I'm sure you all are going to be superintendents somewhere, and I wish you both the best. Once again, congratulations to Scott Fritz. We are adjourned.